This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Forbidden relationships. And among them, the Torah says, "Ve'ish asher yikach es achtoisu bas oviv uvas imoy, ve'roes ervoso, ve'hi sireis ervoso." A man who has a relationship with his sister, either paternal or maternal sister, chesed hu, which is the least of all the questions that the Torah is prepared to deal with. That's the first question. What is the question? And the second question is, what is the answer? Good. So now we've established, for some reason or other, which we don't yet know, that it is a good kasha that Cain should not have married his sister. Answers that the Torah, as Rashi explains it based on the Gemara, chesed also amokim livnoseh lo mimino. It was because of chesed that Ribbono Shel Olam did a kindness to build to Cain, that he should build the world. Or that Adam did a kindness to Cain by giving his daughter, who was fit to Adam himself, giving her to Cain instead, however you want to learn it. What's the answer? If it's forbidden, it's forbidden. And if there's flexibility before Matan Torah, we don't have a question altogether. And if there's no flexibility before Matan Torah, what does it help you? Yes, it's for some kind of kindness that he did it. The whole thing is just too strange for words. And for that, we need to understand the whole concept of how the Ovis related to Torah, to mitzvahs, before the time of Matan Torah. What was this flexibility? Some things they kept, some things they didn't. We're told that even Avraham Avinu and all the Ovis kept everything in the Torah, every little mitzvah they used to keep from long before already. Many of them we can see clearly in the Torah, there are references to them. Some of them we rely on Chazal for. And yet we see that there were things that they forewent, that they considered that they could make exceptions under certain circumstances. What was the guideline? Under what circumstances could they make exceptions? And what was the basis for that? The Midrash said in the beginning of Va'era, "Kishenoson HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah LeYisrael," when the Ribbono Shel Olam gave Torah to Yisrael, "Nosan bo mitzvahs ase u mitzvahs lois ase." He put in the Torah positive mitzvahs and negative mitzvahs. Mitzvahs ase and mitzvahs lois ase. "Venosan lemelech mitzvahs mitzvahs." And he gave certain specific mitzvahs to a king. Some mitzvahs we all have, some mitzvahs only men have, some mitzvahs only Kohanim have, some mitzvahs only Leviim have, some mitzvahs the king has. Shneema, for example, it says, "Lo yarbe lo isusi." There's a special prohibition in Isur, a lav, that he's not permitted to have too many horses. The chesed v'zav lo yarbe, and he mustn't have too much gold and silver. V'lo yarbe lo inoshim v'lo yosu levavoy, and he mustn't have too many wives so that his heart will depart. Omad shloime hamelech v'hichim al gzeirosu yishol HaKadosh Baruch. Shloime hamelech got up, and he became wise over the gzeiros, over the laws of the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'omar, and he said, "Lama Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yarbe lo inoshim?" Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam say a king mustn't have many wives? Lo bishu shelo yosu levavoy? Surely because if he does, they might turn his heart away if he has too many wives. In our days, it's even with one wife such a thing can happen. But a person finds it difficult to come to shiurim and to learn and to do what he has to do because he has a wife. It should be the other way around. A person should have a wife and he learns much more with a wife than he learns without it. But it's not always like that. Can you imagine if there are two wives? One wife at least says, "No, you know, last night you went at home. The night before you went at home. There's a shiur yesterday. There's a shiur today. There's going to be a shiur tomorrow. When am I going to see you?" Can you imagine if there were two wives? Last night I didn't see you. The night before I didn't see you. You were with her. And now you're a shiur. What about me? Everything's more important than me. And if there were three wives and 10 wives and 20 wives, can you imagine what would happen? It's amazing that the emotional even allowed us one wife under the circumstances. But certainly not many wives. And the Torah itself says, "The Lord Yosu Levavoy," and it won't cause his heart to deviate. "Ani arbe v'libi lo yosu." I will have many wives, and I don't have to worry. My heart will not deviate. Not because he was so sure about the tzitzis of all his wives, but because he knew his own stature. He knew that they wouldn't be able to move him, and they wouldn't be able to have any effect on him. Maksivbe, I'm skipping out some medrash, I'll come back to it just now. Maksivbe, what does it say about him later on? By Hile Zikna Shlomo, was it in the old age of Shlomo? Noshov Hitu Es Levomo. His wives caused his heart to deviate. Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Noach Loi Lishlomo Shiyehe Goyreif Bivin. It would have been preferable to Shlomo, he would have preferred to be a sewer, a person who cleans the sewage pipes. Shalei nichtav olav hamikra hazeh, just that this pasuk should not have been written. He would have swapped his whole position for that of a sewer, rather than that such a thing should be said about him. That was more disgraceful than anything else he could imagine that should be said about him. Vayihile zikna shloivo, noshov hitu es levovo. That's something he would have sacrificed his entire existence, but that pasuk shouldn't have been there. So what happened? Let's go back now to the rest of the Midrash in between. So Shlomo said, I will be Marbe, I will have many wives, and it won't damage me. Omru Rabbi Seinu, our Rabbein learned, Ba'isa Shoah, at that moment, also Yud Shebi Yarbe, the little Yud in the word Yarbe, Loi Yarbe, he shall not have many, Yarbe, that Yud, went when Ishtat Cholifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and davened before the Ribbein Shloim. Va'omru, and she said, Ribbein Shloim, didn't you say that never will one letter of the Torah become bottled, will become nullified? Shlomo gets up and he denies me, he just ignores me. It doesn't apply to me. Today he's annulling me, and tomorrow there's another letter he'll knock out of the Torah, it is bottled kol haTorah kulo. Before you look around, if you allow him to start with me, I'm just a little letter, it's true. But if you allow him to start with me, can you imagine what will be left of the Torah? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ribbono Shel Olam, Shlomo ve'elef kiyetze bo yiyu betelim, ve'kutsu mimoch eni mevatel. Shlomo and 1,000 like him may become bottle, may be annulled. And the little nip of your, of the Yud, I won't allow to be annulled. You're more important than that, he says to the Yud. What's this Medrash all about? Did Shlomo not know himself? Did Shlomo disagree with the Torah? What is it all about? There are some Medrashim that one can go so wrong on if one doesn't have a derech in the Medrash from the Gedolei Yisrael. This Medrash that tells the Rav is Mefarish. And without his Perush one can go terribly wrong. Says the Tel Zerov, firstly, there is no question that Shlomo HaMelech knew his own strength. And he knew, and he was correct, that his wives would not be able to cause him to deviate from the Torah. That was without a shadow. It was clear, it was obvious. Why does he start working like that with the mitzvahs? Because in this particular mitzvah, it gives a reason. It says, Lo Yarbe Lo Noshim Velo Yosu Levova. Normally the Torah doesn't give reasons, it gives a mitzvah, so you can't play around with it. But here where it says, you shall not have many wives and your heart will not be deviated, says Shlomo, I know, if that's the reason for the issue, I know myself well enough to know that it won't affect me at all. That's what he says. What does it mean when the Yud comes along to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he says, he's ignored me, he's annulled me? He hasn't. Shlomo HaMelech didn't say you don't apply. Shlomo HaMelech didn't say scratch it out of the Torah, he just said, I don't fit into the category which you're defining. You're talking about Lo Yarbe ve Lo Yosu. I'm not Lo Yosu. Won't affect me. So what is the Yud's complaint? And the Ribbono Shel Olam accepts the Yud's complaint. So the Tel Zerov says, there's often debate as to whether the mitzvahs of the Torah are of the nature of instructions from a doctor or laws from a king. Are they Gezeiros HaMelech or are they Heroes HaRofe? What's the difference? The difference is that I was talking to a doctor in Israel recently and he says it's impossible to practice medicine here. I said, why? What happens? He's talking about when you come into contact with the public, not in the hospitals. People come to you, you tell them to take certain medicines, they don't. They take other things or they don't take anything at all. And then they don't get any better and they don't come back to you and they pass around that you're a rotten doctor, they've been going to see you and you don't get any better. They just don't do what you tell them to do. That's how it is with a doctor. a doctor tells you to take certain medicine and he explains to you what the medicine is going to do to improve you, if you don't want to take it, if you believe that you can get better without it, if you believe that you should rather use homeopathic medicine, or you believe for some reason or another that he's giving you the wrong, whatever it is, up to you. He's told you, if you want to get better, he hasn't made a decree that you shall, and if you don't, he's going to punish you. That's not what it means. He's told you that if you do this, you'll get better. If you don't do this, you'll become ill. It's up to you to decide. So that's the one way of looking at the mitzvahs. They're not laws that you have to do. But the Torah is telling you, this is the way the world is created. If you keep the mitzvahs, it'll go well. You won't keep the mitzvahs, you're going to get hurt. That's all. Up to you to decide. The other way is Gezeiras HaMelech. If the king comes around and says, everybody shall take a vitamin C tablet every morning, you have to take it. It's not for you to start saying to the king, why? And he says that you won't catch cold and we'll lose productivity. And you'll say, look, I can, without taking vitamin C tablets, I won't catch cold. It's not up to you to say that if the king makes the gezeira. If the doctor says to you, if you want to prevent the cold, take a vitamin C tablet, it's up to you whether you want to prevent the cold, whether you want to do it that way. But if the king makes a gezeira, if the king makes a law, that's how it is, you can't question that that's the gezeira. And he says it's quite clear that the mitzvahs of the Torah are both. It's on the one hand, it's not just the mishugas of the Ribbono Shel Olam, do such and such without any reason. Of course, by doing such and such, it will be good for you, and if you don't do it, it will be bad. But in addition to that, there's a gezeira hamelech. He gives an example of where the gezeira hamelech is removed, although the hoiraa haroife remains. The decree of the king is removed, although the instruction of the doctor remains. In the case of an Ashes Yefastur, a man who goes to war, and there he finds an attractive girl, and the Torah says, you can bring her home, and you must keep her for a month in mourning for her parents, and she must grow her hair and her nails and all the rest of it. And then if you still like her, at the end of that, you can marry her. And what's the end of the story? From that comes, you'll have two wives, one will be hated and one will be loved, and the hated one will have a ben sore and a moreh, a rebellious son who will have to be killed. So you see how bad it is. If it's so bad, why doesn't the king say no? So he says no, but as a doctor. He says, look, if you do this, this is what's going to happen to you, but it's up to you if you want to do it or not. Keneged Yetzer Dibra Soda, the Torah realizes that when a man's out at war, he does all sorts of peculiar things, and if the Torah isn't going to allow it in certain ways, although discourage it, it's going to be done in any case. So instead of as a gzeira tamelech, this is how it is and you must do it, it says a hurrah saroifa. The king doesn't make a gzeira, the king says if you want it, you can have it, but you should know it's going to cause you harm. There we get an example of where the two are separated, where you've got the decree of the king removed and all you're left with is the instruction of the doctor. But most mitzvahs in the Torah, apart from that, you've got the instruction of the king together with the instruction of the doctor. It has both elements. Shlomo HaMelech says, what's the Torah telling you? Don't have many wives and your heart will not be deviated. That means, is this an instruction of the doctor or is the gzeira of the king? If it's a gzeira of the king, he doesn't have to give any reasons. If he does give reasons, here he says, that's the doctor talking. The doctor says, you should know if you have many wives, this is the danger you face. And if you've got any sense, you won't take many wives. So Shlomo HaMelech, but I know myself. I know I can handle it. It won't affect me the same way. So he takes many wives. What's the Yud's complaint? The Yud comes along to the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, it doesn't say in the Torah if he will have many wives. It uses the Loshon of Loi Yarbe. That Yud indicates an instruction. Yarbe means he must have many. Loi Yarbe means he mustn't have many. But the root of the word is Rei, Beis, Hei. The Yud converts the verb into an instruction. So it's that Yud that comes, it turns it into a tzivui, and he says, Shlomo HaMelech has misinterpreted me, he sees me as an instruction of a doctor, not of a king. And I'm not. It's lo yarbe, it's a tzivui. It's true that it says the lo yosu levove. That's another question. But the Yud on its own shows that this is a tzivui of the king. And by Shlomo HaMelech opting for the reason and saying, well, Yosu Levove, in my case it doesn't apply, he's denying the fact that this is a tzivui. And if he starts with me, who knows where it's going to end. Now, I'm not a tzivui, and tomorrow somebody else is not going to be a tzivui, and the whole Torah can be dismantled into some kind of voluntary gain. It's not that tzibur, lo yarbe, and it's in the yud that tzibur lies. We won't get into it now. Hashlomo HaMelech misread that, what the whole thing is there. That's another discussion. But at least we see it's not stam marishkeit on the part of Shlomo HaMelech HaSishon. That he knows himself and he's right, he won't be affected. Except he sees this like the Eishes V'Pastor, where the Torah says it's up to you. If you do, this is the consequences, but it's up to you. And the youth comes to the Rebbeinu and says, that's not chat. I was put there to make this a tzivui, to make this an instruction of the king, not to make the advice of the doctor. What went wrong? Says the Talmud Rav, since in fact this is a tzivui, and Shlomo HaMelech was over the tzivui, he went against the mitzvah, that weakened him. And now his wives were able to change him. Initially his wives wouldn't have been able to change him, Menachem, he was a tzaddik. But he's done an avero, and that avero is just enough to have weakened him, that now they can change him. He didn't know he was doing an avero. He thought he was entitled to do it. But the fact is, there was a small avero there which he'd done, and that already weakened his status and his stature to the point where his wives could already affect him. So what do we see here? We see two bechinas, two concepts. The concept of the Hiras HaRefe and the Gzeiras HaMelech. Advice of the doctor and the decree of the king. Before Matan Torah, before the Torah was given, all the mitzvahs were on the basis of a Hiras HaRefe, and advice of the doctor. The others could perceive with their brilliance and with their nevuah and with their insight and depth, they could perceive the value of the mitzvahs and the dangers of the averos. Because in every mitzvah and avero, there is also a Hiras HaRefe. There's also advice. It's not some meaningless instructions which God has given us which don't do us any good. Every mitzvah does us good and every avera does us harm. And if one would have the perception to understand it fully, one would be able to see exactly where it does me good and where it does me harm. So we see that before the time of Matan Torah, there was no Gezeiras HaMelech. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't give any instructions in his capacity as a king. But certainly the others were able to understand the health of the mitzvahs and the ill health of the averus. Therefore they kept the whole Torah. But if they're keeping it as a hiras harofe, then it's a different thing. Then there are times when a patient will decide that under these particular circumstances it's correct for me to go against the normal things. Because why do I normally take certain tablets? It's because they're going to do me good. But in a certain situation, they might do me harm, or I might be able to do better by not taking them. But it's up to him not to take them, if he knows what he's doing. So there were cases where the others worked out. For example, Yaakov worked out that he can do better by marrying Leah and Rachel than he would by not marrying them. It's true, normally it's unhealthy to marry two sisters. But in this particular case, there's nothing more healthy than to marry those two sisters, because he realizes that without them, he can't establish the nation. Up to him to do it. Today we couldn't make such a calculation. It is not the Gzeiras HaMelech. The king says we can't make those calculations. But before Matan Torah, before the Torah was given, where it was only from the point of view of the Hiras HaRefe, it was an instruction or advice from the doctor, then it was up to each person to figure out, certainly with the Gedolim of those times, to figure out in their own mind whether it was in fact good or bad. There's one difficulty with that. The Talmud Rav also asks, can I get a Chumash Bereishis? Sorry. You know the story of Yosef with the wife of Potiphar, how she pesters him and seduces him, or tries to seduce him. Eventually she comes out with an open batemer, shichvo yimri, she says, lie with me, vayimoein, and he refuses, vayomer el ishes adoinov. And he says to the wife of his master, immediately puts her into the focus as being the wife of my master. Hein adoini lo yoda iti ma babois. After all, my balabos, your husband, doesn't know what goes on in the business, in the home. The cholashi yesh lo nosan biyodi, whatever he has, this is given to me. It's given to me to manage. Einenu gadol babois hazem imeni. There is nobody more powerful in the house than myself. Veloi chosach mimeni meuma, and there's nothing he's kept away from me. Ki in oisoch. Only you, Basher at Ishtoi, because you are his wife. How can I do this terrible thing? The chatzotzi leilakim, and I will sin to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Asks the tells of Rov, after all, B'nai Noach, non-Jews, are also prohibited to have relations with somebody else's wife. It's part of the mitzvah of B'nai Noach. And Eishes Ish is also for a non-Jew. Before the time of the Torah, it was an issue. Why does Yosef have to go into a long discussion with her about the morality of the situation and what he's going to land up doing and how terrible it is, and after all, how his master trusts him, and it will be a breach of that trust, and it will be an unfaithful act? Let him say plain and simply, my girl, that's an issur. Sorry, would love to do it, but I can't. Finished. There's an issur of Eishes Ish, you're somebody else's wife. It's also for me, and it's also for you. Finished. That's the end of the story. No, we will sin to Hashem. We can't do it. That's the end of the discussion. A whole big story about his relationship with his master and the fact that he trusts him with everything except with her. So the answer is that she argued against that. Her argument was, I see with my astrology, Chazal tell us, that you and I together are going to build up a very important house, the Beis Yosef. The house of Yosef is going to be constructed from a relationship between you and me. I see that. And the same way as your father Yaakov married two sisters, although it's an issur in the Torah, but he knew that that was the way he was going to build Klal Yisrael, so you should be able to marry me, although it's also, because that's the only way you're going to build the house of Yosef. That's a good answer for a wife of Potiphar, isn't it? Aunt says, the tells it all, she's right. On the surface, she's right. So why doesn't Yosef give in? What's Yosef's problem? Says Yosef, this is an incredibly important yesod. It's all very well. If you and I were the only people to be affected, it would be up to us to decide under the circumstances, since the Torah has not yet been given, that we need to get married. But since it's not only you and I who are going to be affected, it's also a breach of trust to your husband. So there's a third party here who's going to get hurt. That we never find. That we're allowed to do something wrong because of a great result that's going to come out of it. That, yes, before Matan Torah, that was allowed. Wasn't called doing wrong. But not where the wrong would be somebody else's problem. Where we're going to hurt somebody else in the process. Then you can't do it. My father married two sisters, but who did he hurt? His father-in-law wanted him to marry them both. They both wanted to marry him. Nobody suffered. Everybody only gained. Later on, Amram married his auntie, true, but who suffered? Nobody suffered. You want us to get married. What happens to your husband? There's no hetter for that. That's not allowed. So the tells it over, you say, that even before Matan Torah, it's correct that there's the concept of a Yiras HaRofeh, that this is all the instruction from the doctor. And if you feel that you can be under the circumstances, that it would be more healthy for you to do what would normally be discouraged by the doctor, you're allowed to do it. But not when somebody else is going to be hurt. That you can't do. The doctor comes and says to you, you know, it's unhealthy to lose your temper. And you decide, your psychiatrist tells you it's healthy to lose your temper occasionally. So you decide you're going to lose your temper, that's all very good. But not if somebody else has to suffer. You want to lose your temper, lock yourself in a room with a pile of plates and smash them. Do what you want with them. But nobody else has to suffer as a result of it. You aren't allowed to go against the Hiraz, even the Hiraz Halefe, even if you'll only see it as advice from the doctor. That advice is not up to you to play around with if it's going to hurt somebody else in the process. That we can't do. That's the yesod we see with Yosef HaTzadik. That as much as he understood, as well as she understood, that this was a relationship that they needed to have, it would hurt somebody else in the process, and as great as the promise was of their relationship, it cannot be done at the cheshbon of somebody else. That you can't be. This is altogether is the whole principle, the whole concept. One can't be a tzaddik at somebody else's cheshbon. Keeping the basic mitzvah, that one has to. You can't not keep a mitzvah because it will hurt somebody. You can't do an avera because if you don't, it's going to hurt somebody. That we can't do. Mitzvahs are given, we have to do them, and that's the end of the story. Somebody gets hurt in the process, that's their problem. Not the mitzvahs which are hurting them, it's their attitude which is hurting them. But to be a tzaddik at somebody else's expense, that you're not allowed to be. the famous story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, where he goes out, he's out with the balabos, eating, having a meal with the balabos, and they're going to wash, and everybody goes to wash their hands, and you know how it goes with it. You know, he's taking, washing the hands, filling up the thing, throwing it over, filling it up, and again, and again, and again. The Yisrael Salanter comes, and he puts a little bit of water in it, and he washes just up to his knuckles. He dries his hands, and off he goes. And afterwards, people said to him, you know, every little so-and-so over there washed his hands 3 times with I don't know how many cups of water, and you just washed all the tips of your hand? He said, "Api halacha, the strict minimum requirements of the halacha, you only have to wash up to the knuckles. The chatchila, one should wash up to the wrists. But there's a maid who has to go and fetch the water from the well outside. I can't be a tzaddik at her expense. If I'd brought the water in, I could wash up to my wrists. But she's brought the water in. What right have I got to go and be a big tzaddik when she's got to carry the water?" That's terrible. And I mentioned this morning in the ladies' shir that we're dealing with a generation where even many of the educators of our generation don't know what Torah is. They've never seen Torah. That's Torah. You can't be a tzaddik at somebody else's expense. You can't not wash at all. You can't say, "Look, I won't wash my hands. It's all right. She's had to carry the water now, but I can't wash." That we don't say. You want to eat, you better wash. But he can wash the minimum requirements of the halacha. For Yosef to have a relationship with this woman would be a wonderful thing, and great things would come out of it, but not at the expense of her husband. That he can't. It would show a lack of hakoras hatoiv, it would show a lack of appreciation, it would show a lack of faithfulness both on her part and his part, and he can't allow that. Once we have that yesod, let us look again at our Rashi and see if we can begin to understand it. Says the Rashi that the Torah asks, "V'im toma kain nosachas." How does the Torah come and prohibit the brother having a relationship with a sister? After all, that was the relationship of Cain. That's how he had children. And we ask, what's the Torah worried about? Why doesn't the Torah ask about Yaakov and his sisters he married? Why doesn't the Torah ask about Amram and his auntie? There are many such relationships which the Torah doesn't worry about. So the answer to those relationships must be, since it's a hiras ha-reife, since it's a decision of the doctor's advice of the doctor, they were free under certain circumstances to choose to ignore that advice, where they realized that greater things could be achieved out of ignoring the advice rather than following the advice. They understood that. And under those circumstances, they were permitted to do so. Why can't we say the same as Cain? Cain realized that there's no other way you're going to establish the world. And under the circumstances, he's permitted not to follow the advice of the doctor, which is to have, not to marry a sister. Under these circumstances, the same as Yaakov realized he has to marry two sisters, so Yosef realizes he's got, Cain realizes that he's got to marry his own sister. So there can only be one reason for not. We've got to see that marrying a sister, having a relationship with a sister, is a completely different issue than the other arise. Where does the difference lie? According to the yesod that we've just established, the difference must lie in the damage it does to other people. The other arayas are gzeiras hamelech, so the arayas hareifa, it's not a healthy thing to do. To marry two sisters is not healthy. For whom is it not healthy? For the couples themselves. Therefore, if before the Torah, if the couples themselves believed and felt and knew, Ruach HaKodesh, that in their particular circumstances good would come out of it, they're free to do it. The din is you can't marry an auntie. Why not? Before Matan Torah, before it was a Gezeirat HaMelech. Why not? It's not good. Who's it not good for? It's not good for you. If you know with Ruach HaKodesh as Amram did, that that's the right thing for you to do, then you're free to do it. The din is that you're not allowed to marry a sister. Why not? Not only because it's not good for you, it must also be harmful for others. Otherwise there would be no Shiloh from Cain. What is the harm for others? I don't know. It might be genetic harm. It might be the fact that the children suffer. It's not a good relationship from the point of view of the children. It's not just for you. You're not allowed to marry an auntie, but there's nothing genetically wrong with it. It's not good for you and for her. It's not a good relationship, but there are times when it can be done before Matan Torah. It's not good to marry two sisters, but there are times when it can be done. But it's not genetically harmful to marry one's own sister. That can be harmful to others as well. There one can have a situation where not only is it bad for the cattle, but it's bad for the future generation, and maybe for society in general. The families marry within one another, and there's no intermarriage between the families. Who knows what the reason is, but we see that there's a concept here of much more than that. It's not only the marriage that is harmful for the cattle, the marriage is also harmful for others. In that case, is the Torah Chesed. There's only one way, therefore, that one can allow such a marriage before Matan Torah. And that is when you know that for society and for future generations it will be good. That's all. With the issue of marrying the two sisters, if I know it will be good for me, that's enough. Because why mustn't I marry them before Matan Torah? Why mustn't I marry two sisters? Because the doctor says it's no good for me. But if I know that in this case it is good for me, I can marry them. I don't have to think any further than that. If Yosef would know, if the husband wasn't in the picture, if his balabot wasn't in the picture, if Yosef would know, as he knew and as she knew, that great things would come from their relationship, but it was good for the two of them, they could have gone ahead. When it comes to marrying a sister, that's a different story. Now you've got to know that it's going to be good for the whole world. Because here the cheshbon is not only that it's going to do you harm. Here the cheshbon is it can do other harm as well. And therefore there's no heter at all. You can't marry your sister no matter what you know. There's only one who can allow it, and that's the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam can say, in this case, it's in fact a chesed for the world that this relationship should take place. It's normally prohibited because of the harm it causes others. In this case, it will cause only good to others. And therefore, chesed who you should know that the Ribbono Shel Olam was matir, kind to marry his sister as chesed, as kindness, to build the world, to build the Olam. The very reason for its prohibition in that case was permitted. It was a chesed, it was an act of kindness. What is it that happens after Matan Torah? Before Matan Torah, we said, every mitzvah is there as advice from the doctor. It's good. And it's up to the human being to decide whether he's going to follow the advice of the doctor or not. And he's not punished for not following it. Excepting where other people can suffer as well. Then it's not just advice from the doctor. Then it already becomes more of a mitzvah. In a sense, if you better know, not only will this cause you harm, but this can cause other people harm as well. Then it becomes a different concept altogether, and there's no heter for it at all, except in this one exceptional case that we've just had. What happened after Matan Torah? So I just want to give you one brief thought, which is by no means the whole story, but at least it's an opening into it. After Matan Torah, even the instructions of the doctors became Gzeiros HaMelech. What does that mean? What is a Gzeiros HaMelech? If the doctor says to me, you should take vitamin C, you won't get a cold. And I say to myself, you know, the bother of taking vitamin C every day, I would rather have the cold. It's easier. It's up to me. There's nothing wrong with that. What happens when the government says to me on a white line, you mustn't overtake? Or let's think of a better case. You mustn't go through a red traffic light. Why do they say such a thing? Because it's dangerous. Things have to be coordinated and traffic has to be manipulated. And if people will not stop at red traffic lights, the light will be total chaos. So they make the law, Gzeiros HaMelech. You're not allowed to stop. You must stop at a red traffic light. What happens if the Chochem comes along and he says, to me it doesn't make any difference. What do you mean to you? Other people also. What do you mean you? I don't mind them. I'm depressed. I'm miserable. If I die, I die. I couldn't tell you. Red robot, I'm going to. You're not allowed to do such things. It doesn't only affect you. It affects other people too. What happens if it's 3 o'clock in the morning and there are no other people and he drives up to the red traffic light and he looks left and he looks right and he looks left again and right again and there's nobody and he goes through? Is that an avero, isn't it? He can get a ticket for that also. He stands in court, he says, you know, I don't understand you. I understand why you must stop at a red traffic light, because it's dangerous not to. But at 3 o'clock in the morning when there was nobody there, what's the whole purpose of your halacha? So they say, mister, don't be clever. That's the din. That's how it is. And you, that says in the book, you shall stop at a red traffic light, and you didn't stop at a red traffic light, you went right through. For that you get a ticket. Finish. Why are they right and he's wrong? We see from this whole discussion tonight that they're right. Gzeiras HaMelech, you can't start making your own cheshbonus with Gzeiras HaMelech. Why are they right? It happens sometimes that I go through a red traffic light. But I have certain klolim about it. The one klal is that I don't do it for business. And I don't do it for social reasons. Only if there's something in the Rabbonis or in Yiddishkeit which is an emergency. There's no other kind of emergency. The second klal is that it's safe. The third klal is usually when I do that, by the way, it's the early hours of the morning. The third thing is that there's nobody around. Not behind me, not in front of me, not walking, not on a bicycle, nowhere. Why? If there's a car 200 yards down the road where they can't even see my number plate, I'm not afraid they'll take my number. That's not why I don't do it. 200 yards, 300 yards, half a kilometer down the road. But if he can see that the traffic light is red and I'm going through, I don't go. Why? Because if I go through, it weakens the whole thing for him. So Pritzas Hageder. It has an effect on him in the sense he's seen somebody else do it, and the importance, the severity of stopping at a red light is undermined. Becomes an act of undermining. It becomes a social irresponsibility. It's got nothing to do with road safety. It's a social irresponsibility. It's a pritzas hageder. You're taking a rule which people stand by, and you're making nothing of it. You're making no tonus of it. It's nothing serious. If you look and you see it safe, you can go. Gzeiras HaMelech is not just a personal thing anymore. If a person disregards the Gzeiras HaMelech, he's affecting the welfare of the whole society. Because it damages their respect for the king. It damages their respect for the legal system. Even if in his case he was right, the law doesn't apply. In his case he could get away with it. Doesn't matter. It causes a diminishment in the eyes of others of the rule of law. And that one can't have. Once a thing is a Gzeiras HaMelech, then it's not up to an individual to make his own cheshbonus, because automatically he's harming other people. The doctor gives you good advice and you don't want to take it, you're not harming anybody else by not taking it. But if the melech gives an instruction, even if he gives you the reasons, and in your case the reason doesn't apply, by not taking those instructions, you're damaging other people, you're causing mischief. And that one isn't allowed to do, that one can't. And by the way, even in the area of the Hora'as HaRofe, when the doctor gives an instruction, if it's just your own business, okay. But if you're an employee working for a balabos, if you're a father who has to support a family, if you have responsibilities, it's not up to you to ignore his advice. Because you can hurt other people in the process. Other people also depend on you, and your health is no longer your own business. One's health then becomes everybody's business. Once the Torah was given, the whole relationship between Am Yisrael one to another in the observance of mitzvahs becomes affected. Old principle of Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh L'Zeh. That one person can suffer the consequences of another person doing an Aveira. If somebody else does wrong and I could have stopped it, I can be punished for it. If somebody else does wrong as a result of something that I said or did, I can be punished for it. I can say a bracha for somebody else, because if he doesn't say the bracha, I get punished. We're connected. In terms of our mitzvahs, we're connected. And the example that's always given is like the fellow who takes a cabin on a ship, and off he leaves from Cape Town on his way to Southampton, and 2 days out at sea they hear knock, 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 they hear all day and all night in his cabin, and they go in eventually to sea, and there you say, you've got a hammer and a chisel, and he's busy making a hole in the side of the ship. And the captain walks in and says, what are you doing here, you idiot? He says, what do you mean? He says, this is my cabin. He says, I hired it, I paid for it, didn't I? I'll pay for the damage. I'm making a little hole here, I'll have the hole fixed when we finish, don't worry. And says, Judith, don't you realize a hole in your cabin, we all drown. That's what Am Yisrael is. There's no such thing as he's doing an Aveira, what's it going to do with me? A hole in your cabin, we all drown. That's how it is. Therefore, doing an Aveira after Matan Torah is no longer one's own business. A Jew can no longer say, I'm not causing anybody else any damage, it's my own business. That can't be. After Matan Torah, every action of every Jew affects every other Jew. Every mitzvah affects every other Jew. Every Aveira affects every other Jew. Everything we do is all of our business. There's nothing which becomes our own private affairs in the areas of right and wrong anymore. And therefore, it's not up to us to start making cheshbonus, to start figuring out whether in these particular circumstances, maybe more good can be done by doing the Aveira. We can't do that. doing the Avera is already something which causes other people harm, and just as Yosef didn't make Cheshbonos with Potiphar's wife, so we can't make Cheshbonos when it comes to these matters. We see from here the tremendous sense of achrayus, of responsibility, that a human being has to have in everything that he does. Very often a person thinks that there are certain things which are just his own private affair. I suppose there are things which are a person's own private affair, but not really in the areas of right and wrong. Areas of right and wrong is not a person's own private affair. Sometimes a couple thinks or a family thinks that their relationship with one another is their own private affair. The whole way that Western society looks upon relationships between men and women. Two consenting other adults, they want to have an affair together, well, who do they hurt in the process? The logic is right, the Matthias is wrong. If it was before Matan Torah, I suppose then they might have a bit of a time. After Matan Torah, it doesn't work like that anymore. It does become a social thing. When the fabric of a society breaks down, and it can break down with one couple who prays together, the fabric of a society breaks down, the whole thing starts collapsing, and you can't say it's only my business. It's perhaps in this area, in the area of Arias, in the area of the relationships between the sexes, that this applies even more than anything else. Official of levels, there already a whole society is involved. People sometimes wonder why it is, if they go out on a shidduch and after a couple of weeks already everybody's talking, when are they going to get married and what's taking so long and why is it? And I thought, it's my business, what's anybody else's business? The truth is, it's not like that. It really is everybody's business. A shidduch, a family, a marriage, chas v'sholem, a divorce, that's not a private business of a person. We wish when a couple gets married, we wish that they should build a bayis ne'eman b'Yisrael. That's what it's all about, becoming part of the society of Yisrael. If these things are mishandled, or these things are not done correctly, or these things are done correctly, all that has an influence on a society, and it's certainly the interest of the society. If a family lives nicely and lives betairo, bekedusha, that's the pride of the society in which it is. If a family doesn't live nicely and they're bickering with one another and destroying one another and they're not living with kedusha and taira, it is everybody's business. It's not for the family to say, keep out, this is my private domain. There's no such thing when one's dealing with concepts and with actions that are as far-reaching as that. Even the private mitzvahs, even the Ben Adam Lamakim, there's no mitzvah which is absolutely private. There's no action that a Jew can do which doesn't affect every other Jew. There's no action. But certainly when it comes into the social mitzvahs, into the mitzvahs that affect the whole structure of society, nobody can say this is my business and it's got nothing to do with anybody else. It isn't. It's got very much. In fact, it's got a lot more to do with everybody else than it's got to do with a couple. Much more. It has much more effect. A marriage will affect other people more than it will affect the two people. The generations that come out of the marriage, the relationships that the family has with others, the people that will be in their homes and the homes that they will be in, their contribution or lack of contribution to society. There will be much more effect on society from a marriage or from a lack of one than there will be on the individuals themselves. It is more the business of society than it is the business of the couple concerned and of the individual concerned. And that we have to realize that there's no such thing as an action which is just my own business. And that where, before the Torah was given, it was theoretically possible to make cheshbonos for those who were great enough to do so, and to figure out that which may be done and that which may not be done, and taking the mitzvah simply on the basis of good advice, normally this is the right thing to do. Once the Torah is given, this converts into a gzeiras hamelech, and everything that we're instructed to do is not given to any form of interpretation in terms of whether it applies or whether it doesn't apply. And that was where, on his level and with as little understanding as we have of it, Shlomo HaMelech went wrong with the Lo Yarbeloi. He saw that it says Lo Yarbeloi Noshim Velo Yitzves Levovo, that he shall not take many wives and they will not deviate his heart. He connected the two together. It's good advice. It's like the Eshish Yifas Torah. It's not a good thing to do, it's not a healthy thing to do, because the consequences are one beloved and one hated, and the further consequences are ben seir and moreh. So if you've got eyes in your head, you won't do such a thing, but the Ribbono Shel Olam is not forbidding it. So Shlomo HaMelech learned this mitzvah. That it's not a wise thing to do, to take many wives. The end is going to be that they're going to affect your heart. In my case, that doesn't apply. No, says the Medrash. That's not as the youth comes to the Ribbono Shel and complains, Lo Yarbe Lo. This is a tzibui. This is not good advice. This is not a hirah sadoifeh. This is a tzibui. And there is no place for us to play around with it and to interpret it. That's how it is at the tzibui HaMelech, whether the reason applies to you or not. One thing is for sure, if you're going to be over the tzibui, you're going to weaken the tzibui for everybody else. You're going to weaken that mitzvah for everybody else. And that is not allowed. With that added dimension, one should relate to the mitzvahs and to the aveiros and the Torah with a social responsibility which somehow exceeds personal responsibility. It's a very strange thing. People are sometimes reckless about themselves. We make all sorts of cheshbonos. Ein adam oiver aveiro l'imkei nichnaso b'ruach shtus. A person is a bit of meshugas when he does an aveiro. I'm talking about a person who knows that it's wrong and he knows the consequences. It's like a person who drives down the road at very high speed. He knows it's dangerous. He's seen the consequences of such things very often. But he gets this reckless kind of attitude into his mind. It doesn't matter, let's go and let's have a good time and we'll worry about it afterwards. That reckless attitude, it's shtus, it's stupid, it's sick. But okay, you want to be like that, you can be like that. But not when it affects other people. That you can't do. And we are actually more responsible when it comes to other people. You will not see a father driving a car with his children in the back seat the way he drives on his own. What's the difference? If it's dangerous, it's dangerous when you're on your own as well. That's the shus. If I'm on my own, it's my own business. The whole debate about whether the state is entitled to make it legally enforceable to wear safety belts. This is the debate. It's my business. If I want to kill myself driving, what's it going to do with the state? The answer that we said tonight is, there is nothing that's my business. Every wrongdoing, every aveira that a person does, and every mitzvah, has an effect on everybody else. It's the shtus of a man. He's driving around, it's true, he doesn't have the kids in the back of the car. What difference does it make? He has the kids at home that need him. It's as irresponsible to others. If a person would only begin to realize his responsibility to the klal, that it's not only himself he has to consider, and that in every action that he does, there is also the cheshbon, there is also the weighing up of how it's going to affect others, his sense of responsibility would be with much more yishuv, he would be much more careful in what he did and what he didn't do, and the recklessness would be much less, and he would understand a great deal more also of the meaningful of his existence and the far-reaching extent of his actions.